Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Fat Mascara, a podcast about beauty culture. I am Jen Sullivan. You know me. My usual guest co-host is Jess Matlin, who is on sabbatical currently. So we have guest co-hosts filling in and having so much fun. But listen, this was a week in that lovely Charisse Kenyon is here. We get into the virtual studio. She and I are both podcasters who have been recording from home in our home studios with fabulous mics for years now. The internet gods were unhappy with us. So for some reason, our mics were not picking up, and we were like, rather than not do the episode, let's just go with our low-res mics. I have a fabulous sound engineer, Enrique. What up, Enrique? He's going to fix it all up. But if the sound quality is a little bit different this week, that's why. It will not happen again next week. In fact, I'm of the mind, if you like Charisse, DM me. We'll have her back in April when both of our mics are up and working, because it's just, she's worthy of that, but it's still a great episode. So Charisse, just so you know, is a photographer, a writer. She makes the fabulous podcast Beauty Me. I'll put links to that in the show notes. She also makes great video content. Like, she does an excellent explainer on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. So I'll put links to her channels in the show notes for this so you can follow her. She knows her beauty products and her industry gossip, but her specialty is fashion and red carpet commentary. So we're going to gossip a bit about that if you'll indulge us. I hope you will. So without further ado, let's get into the high quality, not the highest quality, but high quality virtual studio with Charisse Kenyon. Charisse, welcome. Welcome back to Fat Mascara, I should say, right? You were supposed to come to New York City, or maybe you did and then I didn't meet up with you while you were
if
here?
If I came, you would have known. Okay.
Okay. But
I would never come all that way and not be like, hey, do you want to do coffee? No, I'm not going to lie, Jen. I feel like I didn't expect this of me as someone that loves to travel, but I think the whole pandemic really slowed down my urge for traveling. It really did. It just, people coughing and the lack of consideration. So it just, I was just like, I'll wait. I'll keep waiting.
She's in her cozy era. Yeah. How are you, Charisse?
I'm good. But yeah, I'm definitely, I actually really want to come out this year because I really want to come to see the Met exhibition, the Met Gala. There's always an exhibition that runs alongside it. I really want to visit, which is in May. So who knows?
Okay, I hope you do, because I will host you all about town. And for people who are like, what are they talking about? Charisse has already been on the podcast, as I mentioned before. So she's just coming back. She has her own fabulous podcast, Beauty Me, which I realized I think I know the answer, but why do you call it Beauty Me?
Oh, it was just, I threw a load of names together and I spoke to a friend that worked at Spotify and she said yes to that one. And that's that. That's literally it. I mean, the meaning is there's beauty and there's me, but the me is not just me. It's you and everybody else. It's just literally beauty and me. It's literally two words stuck together.
Our individual experiences of the beauty culture. Yeah. Got it. Yes. And you can go, everybody who's listening, a deeper dive, episode 404. Charisse was my guest co-host 2 years ago. But you've been doing some new types of content since then. And so I want to like dive into, like, it is full on Charisse fashion moment, these shorts you're doing on TikTok and everything. And I noticed you've been doing these explainers on models. And we here at Fat Mascara love modeling and love, especially the 90s supermodels. But I was curious, what got you into that? Is it because you're a photographer?
Yeah, I think it goes, it's deeper than that. It's like my wall, I've got, you know, like collections of Vogue that goes back to the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Like I'll have to show you at some point. I've just always been in love with beauty, honestly, since I was very, very young. I've wanted to see it everywhere, whether it was TV, then music videos, magazines. I think I'm a bit of a magpie. I love beautiful things. Love makeup. And I honestly mean it today. Like I've never got jaded. You know what it's like. There's certain things you can do in life that's very easy and you can just churn things out, but I do not feel that way. Every video that I make is because I want to make it. It's not because a brand asked me to or somebody else did. I just think there's so much beauty when you look back. Obviously there's beauty right now, but most of the things you see now someone else did it 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, because women around the world have always been into beauty. Not every woman and not at equal levels, but for me, the supermodels, the very specific type of supermodel, for me, the supermodels were the 90s. I think back then there was more individuality. So even though I might not see myself necessarily in magazines or on TV, I definitely felt like I saw a range of looks. And I think in the past few years, we've talked about the Instagram phase, how people kind of start looking quite similar. I don't think it was like that in maybe in the 80s or 90s. I think social media can be a great thing, but it also speeds up things and trends become very throwaway. But I would say back then, like I was even talking to a hairdresser that worked on the set of that new film, Love Lies Bleeding. I don't know if you've seen any trailers. It's a great film. I saw it yesterday. And she was saying what we forget is back in the day, when there was a trend, it'd be around for a couple of years, especially if you look at the city and country.
Yeah.
You'll know in the States, there could be a small town somewhere in the Midwest that might be rocking a mullet a year after New York tossed it aside. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I feel back then people were able to be a little bit more individual and more expressive. And now, even though we say, oh, yeah, it's all about the individual, it's still very much about trends. Do you know what I mean? And they go very quickly.
They do. Oh, God, I could dig into this. Even the influencer face we were talking about in the 70s or 80s, you would know that that person, if you look at a photo, not just because of the type of the photography in the film, you can place them in a time. But if you look now, it's like everybody's starting to look the same and they just look so modern.
Yeah, like if and Millie Bobby Brown doing Y2K, I'm like, it's so Y2K. It's like, it's not ever going to be now. Do you know what I mean? What's now? How are people going to look back in 2050 to be like, oh, in 2024, it was this, they're not going to be able to.
It could be anything. Even as we just finished up award season and you look at the red carpet, I was like, I couldn't say that there was, this is the year of 2024 and this is the look we saw. Maybe with fashion a bit, because there's just nipples everywhere and so much skin bared.
Well, also just a little substance that's being used a lot, let's be real. It's not like what people are putting on their bodies, it's what they're putting in.
Oh, the skinny is back, the weight loss drugs. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm telling you, you know what? Ozempic, that is one hell of a drug. Oh my God. Because
that really will time us to 2024, won't it?
Yes, it will.
Well, I wanted to talk about models briefly just because I love as well the individualism of the time. And I'm curious who your top models are. Do you have favorites?
Today, this is my top three. Okay, today. Amber Valletta forever because she just did Architectural Digest. And I hope that Amber wouldn't take this as an offense, but Amber Valletta always made me feel like it's okay to have a big forehead, right?
Okay. All right. I would not look at you and think that you think it, you have a big forehead. Wow. Okay.
So she always made me, I was like, that woman's got such a great face. And she hasn't got like a teeny weeny forehead. She could do like all these strong looks.
And she didn't have bangs to cover it up. Okay, now maybe.
No, no. She had phases, you know, like maybe a Caesar cut, then definitely a shaggy thing that was more on her face. And she could do anything, I think, actually, pretty much.
Top spot, Amber Valletta.
Yes, love Amber. If I was to throw it all the way back and really talk about someone that is... There's never been anyone like her. So I know they're talking about trying to make a film about her. Donyala Luna.
Tell me about her.
She was the first black supermodel. She was the first black woman to be seen on any cover of Vogue. We're not talking about Beverly Johnson, who was the first black woman to cover US Vogue. We're talking about any Vogue. And it was actually Donyala Luna in 1966, I think, British Vogue. And she'd actually first appeared on a magazine cover as an illustration for Harper's Bazaar. Because they didn't want to ruffle feathers having a black woman. So they had a drawing of a black woman. And she did ruffle feathers.
Okay.
And people canceled their subscriptions to Harper's.
Well, Harper's Bazaar was very, like, back in the day, it was the very hoity-toity one. I mean, they all were back then.
Yeah, they're all pretty much the same, I would say. But for me, I recently, like, a few months ago, I watched her documentary. And it's just so hard because she gets a lot of flack from people for... She was very vague about her heritage, right? I'll be very real. She was not saying, I'm black. You know, for me here in the UK, when you're mixed race, you can also say you're black. If that's what you, do you know what I mean? That is you.
How you identify, yeah. But,
yeah. She was not doing that, okay? But I think feel much of that is a black woman born and raised in Detroit, makes it in New York, makes it in London, at a time of civil unrest, by the way, black people are literally just trying to be seen. And she's got all this on her shoulders. I think she literally just wanted to escape Detroit and be this beautiful, fantastic creature. Because that's how she would often speak about herself, almost like an alien. And unfortunately, like many people around those times, she got into drugs and she died in her 30s. But while she was here, she was just, she literally was that kind of more like alien-like beauty.
Otherworldly, so, yeah.
Yeah, which is why I think some of the models that I do love today, they don't just look like, you know, just beautiful. There's something else. There's like an otherness that you can't replicate or fake or find again. So Donyala, for sure. And then if I was to throw somebody in that's newish, I would say Alva Clare. Do you know Alva?
No, who's that?
I don't know tons about her. I just know that she's British and she's known as plus size. But I always think that when you meet a plus size model in real life, you're like,
they're just like the girl next door.
Yeah, like I'm plus plus, like if she's plus. But she's just, I think she's got an otherworldly quality to her. You'll have to look at pictures of her. For me, that's what I mean. I don't even know her heritage, her background. She's just always stood out. Like, even when I was at Fashion Week in London, I saw her backstage and I was like, the cheekbones were just like...
Oh, yeah. So you did some backstage reporting, didn't you, this past spring 2024 seasons?
Fall, winter.
Oh, sorry. Fall, winter. Yes. I asked you about the models because I was thinking about this as you were going to come on. And I know you do backstage fashion reporting and you do a lot of red carpet commentary. And I was thinking, who do you think most women are looking to that are influencing their beauty looks these days? Because I feel like Jess and I talk so much about like it's all TikTok and the young people are looking at that. But clearly those people are getting their ideas from somewhere. So as someone who sees all of the places we can look at beauty in red carpet, on Instagram, on TikTok, all of this, what do you think is the biggest influence?
I mean, I wouldn't discount TikTok as the platform.
Yeah, the medium.
Honestly, I think a lot of makeup artists.
Right?
Yeah, because I feel like, yes, fashion influences things, okay. But like I said, trends are very quick these days. So I don't think anyone that's really into beauty is thinking, oh, in fall 24, I'm going to do that black liner. If they see something, they're going to do it now. So obviously social media is very now. But for me, I feel a lot of the people that influence are actually makeup artists because they've gone from hiding everything they do to showing much more. I mean, look, Pat McGrath did a 2-hour live showing people how to recreate that glass skin.
She never would have back in the day. Never.
No, and nobody else would, because it would have been frowned upon. You're giving away industry secrets. But no, she's like, I'm going to share because I want you to keep buying my products, which are amazing.
At least you're recognized too, if you want to share, because she's trying to sell products too. But you're right. The makeup artists who are creating looks, if we're talking about makeup and not hair, like it's as much part of the influence as the person wearing it. Actually, more so.
I think Erin Parsons is a really good example, because she can appeal to the people that just want to play with makeup, the people that want the history of makeup, and the people that want to just go all out with makeup. And I think she can tick a lot of boxes. But again, she's on YouTube, she's on TikTok, she's on Instagram. So
yeah, I guess I get caught up in the medium sometimes, but really it's the message, which is, here's what's beautiful. But all the people that you're naming, by the way, have an encyclopedic knowledge of the history of fashion and beauty that they're pulling from to create these looks. So it might look new to us, but like, well, maybe not you and me, but like to someone. Yeah. But then they can say, oh, that's from the 40s when they were doing X with the liner.
But I think it's all about sharing. It's like, I got really annoyed recently. It's not the same thing because it's not beauty, but I think sometimes, like you just said, well, yeah, me and you would probably know, but not the average person. I think this average needs to be spoken about more, because the average person is not going to care as much as we do. We get wrapped up and we think it's only certain moments, like Pat McGrath again, that literally break through. Like everybody's talking about it, even people that aren't interested in fashion. And I feel like we need to literally think about that a little bit more. I don't think the average person knows as much or cares as much. And I think that is why they're looking on social media to learn things. So I think anyone that's great at breaking down things and showing you will continue to do well on those platforms. Because I realize it all the time. I had a hair event recently and there was women there. It ranged from like 24 to 64. And the women, like, at every age that were like, oh, can you do an event that someone's going to show me how to do my hair? Someone's going to show me how to braid my hair. Someone's going to show me how to blow dry my hair. And we take it for granted that everybody's got a blow dryer. Everybody knows how to blow dry their hair. Or everybody's got hair. Everybody knows how to take care of it. And the average person doesn't. There's still a load of education that could be shared, I think. And if you're good at it, that's how you could probably lead the trends.
You are good at it. I feel like your explainer videos lean hard into the history and you're always giving more information than just like, here's what she wore and that kind of thing. But here's something I noticed I want to talk about briefly before we get into the news. You always bring a look. Like, you don't come on to the video cash, just talking about whoever.
I can't.
Full glam. Usually we've got the shoulders bared and they're buffed up and creamed up. And I'm like, did she do body makeup to make a 30-second video?
You're so funny, right?
No, I love it. I love it. Because it shows me this woman knows what she's talking about. She respects me. She got all done up for it, almost like a news anchor. But I'm curious what your side of it is.
First of all, Jen, I'm trying to get on the Oscars red carpet to report on beauty next year. Okay, so that's part of it.
If anybody listening has connections, DM either one of us, DM me, I'll connect you to Charisse. She is a queen on the carpet. She doesn't even note cards. She knows who everybody is and she knows who they're wearing before they even tell her.
Yes, I do know who people are. Oh my God. Basically, I always have this laugh because you know what? There are some TikTokers, they can churn it out, right? There's someone that I follow. She will be up from midnight till 8 a.m. because of the time difference. But it's like, this is the phone, right? This is the screen. And you'll just see this little head down here, that, like she's lying in bed, right? And she'll be like, love what Kendall's wearing. I don't know what it is. She looks hot. That's the video. That will get 300,000 views. And I'm there like, make a script, do your makeup, buff your MAC strobe cream in, set the lights.
It you know? Shows though. Yeah, it's like, what is rewarded? The speed that she's putting out content, even though the quality is low, or bring the quality? Please don't change, though. Keep bringing the quality, because I do think it makes a difference.
For me, that whole being first is done. I'm sorry. Do it right. Get it right. Because often when people do it first, they make I make some mistakes.
For sure. Yeah, I've even seen you do that if you do an Instagram post and you're like, oh, that was makeup. Sorry, it was this person's makeup. Like, you'll always correct yourself. You're a journalist, first and foremost. I love that about you. But I have to ask you before we get into the news. You mentioned MAC strobe cream, so I'm not wrong about you putting something on your shoulders because they always look good. Is there any other non-negotiable, like, this is what I need to have my look polished?
It's the block powder. And I have to keep it real. I've been searching for this my whole little TikTok career, right? Since October 2022, I have struggled with shine on videos because shine, dewy skin looks great in person. It doesn't look good on video, okay? You look greasy. It's not a good look. I was like, maybe it's the foundation. And a few weeks ago, I had the makeup artist of Feud, which you must be watching.
Oh, the Truman Capote Swans version? Yeah. Charisse, you're going to love it.
Well, I spoke to the head of makeup, Jackie Risotto, and she was like, this for life, for everyone. I think it comes in 6 shades. And it literally, it's like you put it on and it's gone. And it lasts all day.
So it's setting it, it's bringing down the shine, but it's not looking like powder.
No.
I'm calling a resurgence on a matte face, honestly. You know how we swing in trends. You agree?
MAC needs to...
Oh, I said matte, but MAC too, sure.
Oh, matte. Oh, well, I feel like I've always been more of a soft matte person.
Soft matte, okay.
Yeah, but honestly, this powder, and I am also going to say, I do think there should be a MAC resurgence as well, because again, you've got people like Erin Parsons. I feel like it's a brand that has just, it's been doing great, right? And sometimes when brands do great, they don't always evolve, right? And I mean this with the best of love and all that. But what happens is your time will come again anyway. And I just think it's MAC's time again anyway, because they have got great formulas when it comes to foundations. They were one of the first to actually care about different skin tones. They didn't have to tell the world about it. They literally did it, you know? And I just think...
Don't come for Rihanna on my show.
Literally, I've got two... This is like two other MAC products. Nearly my whole face is MAC today.
Okay. She's got a lip gloss that looks like teddy bear, but I have no idea what shade. And then the clear gloss on top.
No, this is matte.
Oh, but what is that pink color that you're showing us?
Lady Be Good.
Lady Be Good. That's the matte. And then you topped it with?
The clear gloss.
The classic.
Yeah, the classic one. You can put on your eyes, whatever, whatever.
It works. It looks great on camera. You always look polished. And clearly you write a script because you always sound polished. But we are unscripted today. So we're very unscripted. Charisse and I can get very unscripted. So shall we go talk about the news? I want to hear some more of your opinions.
Let's do it.
Okay. So let's get into the news. I know you have a love of Vogue and what Vogue does in its covers. And the new April issue just came out and you texted me and you were like, well, can we talk about it? It's FKA Twigs. Okay, let's talk about it. Why is this newsworthy, Charisse? Oh, British Vogue. Did I say British Vogue? I should have. They're the ones doing the great covers, so it's okay. Shh. I just made enemies, but okay.
Please take the camera away from Annie Leibovitz. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay, back to British Vogue. Here we go. April.
British Vogue, April. First cover for the brand new, not editor-in-chief. She's the head of editorial content. Which I'm kind of a little bit upset about. I'm like, why can't she just be editor-in-chief, guys? Cho Minardi, she is someone that was heading up Vogue.com. She lived in New York, I think, since 2010. And for me, this whole cover is Choma saying, I'm so glad to be coming back to London. I'm so glad in the mundanity of telephone boxes and black cabs and escalators in the tube station. Like, some people have been loving the fact that it's on location and others are like, oh my God, it's so boring. And I just think they're missing the point. I think Choma is so glad to be back. And I feel often when you're away from somewhere, it's the little things that you miss. For us over here, the red telephone box, it's not even like they're everywhere anymore. They replaced a lot of ugly glass ones.
I haven't seen a telephone booth in New York in forever, but it's iconic to England.
Right. And she didn't go so far as to have a red, you know, London bus. I'm glad about that. But the taxi, standing in the tube station, and on the Run Through with Vogue podcast, they actually interviewed Twigs, and she said she came up with this concept of giving herself a character that day. She wanted to be an alien that had just arrived in London. So I'm like, well, yeah, she would be in a phone book. She would be sat on a taxi, like the things that we're surrounded by. I love the fact that she was wearing a Loewe dress on top of the taxi. I was like, I've literally just recorded a podcast today about this cover. That's why I know so much. But I was like, I hope they clean the top of the taxi because that dress is nearly £3,000.
And those taxis are disgusting. Also, that Loewe dress with the huge safety pin, Google it if you don't know what we're talking. Not a safety pin, it's like a straight pin. When I first saw some of the looks from that, I don't know what collection is, I thought it was the coolest thing. And I was surprised that people were against it online, that they thought it looked silly.
Well, Aubrey Plaza from White Lotus, she wore it first.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the thing. I put a thing out on my story saying, let me know your first thoughts. And someone was like, why did they put her in a dress that's already been seen on awards season? And I was like, well, they work on these magazines 3 months in advance. Shit's going to happen.
It was a different color, wasn't it? At least I felt like it was like they were using the
same color.
Oh, it's the exact same. Eh, it happens. It didn't make it less interesting to me. I was like, cool. This is like this visual language they're using. They're showing you the seam work of the dress in a way, and it's cool.
I thought it was cool. And for me, it's also a little bit cheeky because she's saying fashion's coming home, and that's a big statement.
Is she fashion? If she's coming home?
Fashion's coming home. And I was like, well, we already know she's coming home, but she's saying fashion's coming home. And I find that very interesting when you look at the comparisons that are constantly happening between British and American Vogue. I've had people in my DMs saying, I want to move to London based on this cover, like leave the US based on this cover. And I just think there's an energy to it. And I think it's that classic London energy, which I think kind of dipped out for a bit. I feel London kind of expands and then goes back into itself again from time to time. And I feel like it's just perfect timing for Choma to be here. I can't wait to see what's next. I don't want to be like, yeah, we've seen April. I want to see what's next. I just feel like this is a hint at what's to come.
And do you think that magazine covers, which now are mostly digital, let's be honest, that's where the visuals are showing. Do you think they are starting to have an impact? I thought for a while they weren't having an impact the way they used to. Like covers were like a throwaway because nobody sees a newsstand anymore. But then certain brands are embracing them as like, no, this is our monthly image. We're going to stop. What do they call it? Thumb stopper? Because you're scrolling, your thumb stops. This is worthy of looking at for more than 2 seconds. Do you think that we're going there with magazine covers? Will they start to be more impactful? Or is it just another visual to add to the feed?
Again, Jen, I'm wondering if there's a divide. Like, we know that sales of print have gone down, right? But there are still people that still want to pick up magazines. And it's a really tough one for me because Edward Enninful, who was the predecessor, the editor-in-chief at British Vogue, he upped their profits like crazy. He changed the face of the magazine and he brought in money. But I've heard whispers that Condé Nast is going to start testing AI content. And I'm concerned that these beautiful covers may start to be influenced by AI as well. So AI retouching, less of a crew. So, but then you can go into a magazine shop where you've got Another, you've got Pop, you've got Beauty Papers. It's thriving. So I feel like covers aren't dying, but it doesn't mean that Vogue would be saved. Do you know what I mean? I mean, yes, it's like people are like, oh, that's pretty. But then you've got another level of people like me or other types of people that will make sure they go and buy that copy very quickly because they want to see it and they want to look at the spread inside. They don't just want to scroll on Vogue.com. So I don't know. I don't know if covers are enough.
Yeah, it's interesting. You brought up AI, which brings us to our next news item that I wanted to talk to you about specifically. I just saw the news that YouTube creators are now required to disclose, quote, altered or synthetic, end quote, content that seems realistic. So this is the first platform that now if you upload something to YouTube, in the guidelines you have to sign that you're using, that you will follow this. If you've used AI or altered the image with AI, you have to check a box so people know. However, the first thing I thought, and then some news stories also pointed this out, wait, what about beauty filters? What about all the other things that were made with machine learning, that were made by software, that alter images that we use all the time?
What about all the music videos that are played on YouTube?
that are clearly like CGI. What about movies with CGI?
You know, personally, I'd rather they stopped people using those audio filters. Use your voice, okay? Use your voice.
Auntie Therese is coming out.
Don't make a 3-minute video that you recorded in your own voice, but you're going to put an effect on. Why?
There must be something with the algorithm that it gets played more if you use that voiceover effect for the reading. Yeah, it's weird. But the visuals part is interesting to me because the question is, will other platforms start to require this disclosure? And will we go further? Because I think the issue, I know the issue they're going for, which is like deep fakes. When you use someone's voice or like Drake singing a song, but he didn't really sing it. And everybody's like, wait, Drake dropped this track and it's not him. And also with politics, it's so, so important, especially this year in the United States. Like you could make a candidate look like he did or she did something that they did not do. So I get why this is important, but part of me is like, maybe we need to rethink the filters thing too, because all the young women and men out there who have these unrealistic standards, why aren't we helping them out with a little disclosure?
And the people that make out that their content has no filter. I mean, there's a few people that I follow and they're just like, they don't use filters. And I'm like, you do.
Wait, they say they don't when they do?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to tell you.
Just be quiet
thing.
About it. If you're using a filter and you don't want to tell people, just don't say anything.
Right. No, because people ask them and then they lie repeatedly.
Of course people lie.
I think people are, they think they're smart. They can get around it by, depends on the wording used, right? So yes, YouTube is going to do all of that. I don't think it's going to help at all. Like you say, let's concentrate on serious stuff like politicians and deep fakes, revenge porn, stuff like that. That is awful. That can ruin lives. Focus on that. There's a lot about beauty that is about putting on a different face, you know, playing. But I definitely know people that they get around it by, they don't put the filter on in TikTok. They put the filter on when they're working on their video on their laptop.
And then they pretend they didn't use quote unquote a filter because, by the way, automatically, like Instagram, I'm convinced the video, when it's just plain video, it's automatic. They say they're adjusting the lighting and that's why it looks like. No, they also smooth you over because you want to keep using their video camera that's within the app, not just a regular one, because you look better. Even if you don't want to admit to yourself why it is. Where, it's a slippery slope. Like, where do you draw the line?
It is. And like I said, I made a little snide comment about Annie Leibovitz earlier, but there's like many photographers that get the covers. And I'm like, what happened to that person's neck? What happened to that person's eyes? So if YouTube is going to do that, I'm sorry, Vogue or whatever title wants me to spend anything from £4 to £10 on that magazine. And the cover image has taken 10 years off the woman on the cover. Why is that any different? Why shouldn't they have to put a disclaimer inside just to let you know this picture of so-and-so has been airbrushed?
Yeah. Choma, you can change things. It's cool. Or anybody can. Why are we going to put it on her? She's got enough to deal with. No, but anyone who is making these images and the creators
too.
We're
all part of it. Everybody's part of it. So YouTube, great effort, but it's not just YouTube.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of legislation in order to sort of correct some of the ways our society is going, we have France over here, always the first to do these kind of things. But damn, here's the news. France is moving ahead with a bill that would impose a sin tax style penalty on fast fashion products. So as high as 10 euro per item by 2030. So if you bought something on Shein or Temu that was supposed to be 3 euro or whatever they charge, it would be 13 euro, which kind of just makes their whole business model disappear because you don't get a bargain anymore. The thinking is, France's National Assembly that passed this, it still has to go to their Senate. The thinking is for the environmental reasons. Because we're not doing this type of fast fashion and people have to pay more for it, they will start to use it less and we'll have less of a problem with excess clothing. But what's interesting to me is like it's the way it's worded is much more targeting Shein and Temu than like the European companies like H&M and Zara. Though they're part of that problem too, right?
They are. I feel when you sent me this information, my mind, like I don't buy from those stores because I mean, talking about AI, some of the retouching on their ads is ridiculous. But I've probably got a bit more money to spend than people that many people will buy from them because they can't go and buy from Zara. So for me, it felt very digging at the consumer rather than at the brands. Just shut the brands down instead. Like, why are you...
Right, and it also hurts more people that have a lower income who are buying there and want to be part of fashion.
Yeah. So you're penalizing them for buying cheap stuff rather than penalizing the brands that are either too greedy and trying to sell or too greedy and marking things down. Like, I don't get why you're coming for the consumer. I don't like it. It feels very classist to me. So when I saw that, I just felt like, why don't you just raise your taxes and put that money?
Counterpoint, let's look at cigarettes, right? Here in the United States, at least, I don't know what the history was in England and Europe, but they taxed the cigarettes, which then people stopped buying them as much, which then ultimately affected the parent company who decreased the amount they were making. But you're right. Why didn't they go right to the parent company and start taxing the raw materials or the import or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, either way, the company is going to be penalized. However, what you're saying is in the process, France is penalizing people who don't have as much money but want to participate in fashion.
So they're taking more money from the people that have less.
Yeah. And so the other thing they're trying to get at with this, by the way, is exports of excesses. So Shein and Temu, their response being like, well, we make the clothes when they're ordered, right? Because it's like they have these CGI, like the fake images, as you say, because they didn't make a bunch of them yet. They're seeing what the interest is and they will make it exactly for the customer. That way there's not all this stuff that has to go on sale or get shipped to other countries to just be like a big pile of t-shirts sitting on a beach in a developing country.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Zara stuff ends up in landfill.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I even ordered a copy of, I don't know if you've seen, but Beyonce's on the cover of the CR fashion book for spring summer. And I ordered a copy. And what I loved is that they see what covers people want. They get it printed and then they send it out. It's not like there's a pile of magazines sitting there. Yeah. You know, they told me, oh, yeah, Charisse, the artwork's nearly finished and we can't wait to send it out to you. Maybe more people should be doing that. I feel like there's a name for that when you take orders first and then you produce, but I can't think.
Is that dropship? I'm not sure. Yeah, the procurement happens after the order. I think there's some beauty companies that are starting to do this as well that will gauge interest and then make to the amount that they need, which I think is a good way to go. But I'm so curious. We'll have to watch and see what happens in France if they'd use this tax, because as you said, it affects the little guy too.
Yeah, syntax. No. It's so naff, the name, syntax.
All right, let's go. You know I do this and you have to bear with me. You want to come to the science corner?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, let's go. Okay, so here in the science corner, yeah, this news I thought was really interesting. Google is helping dermatology data sets be more representative. So we've heard a lot in the last couple of years about young dermatologists training, and they look at their medical book. Actually, I have cosmetic dermatology right here. I use it sometimes when I'm like writing about skincare. Every picture of every rash and every disease is on a white person, which presents in a very particular way, right? If you do that on different skin types, tones, textures, even different skin ages, it's going to look different. So to fix this, Google researchers actually used Google ads. So when people were searching, because what do you do when you have a rash? You go online, you're like red, bumpy, purple, whatever. Okay. And you Google. So they made it so that an ad search would come up, an ad would come up and say, do you want to be part of this science? And they asked over 10,000 people to submit photos of their particular skin condition. And the reason they did this is so they could, this is what it's called, I gotta read this, a skin condition image network data set. They did this in collaboration with physicians at Stanford Medicine. They did this so it reflects a broad range of concerns that people search for online. What's my rash? You know what I mean. But also a broad range of people that get these concerns, so you'll see images that look like you, but also so dermatologists can train on images that are more representative of the people as a whole. I think that's super cool, don't you?
I think it's really cool. I mean, it's essential because some people haven't been doing their jobs for so ever many years. It's like when you use I said the word average earlier, but when you use the word average in any kind of medical skin, the average person is white, according to, you know.
Or normal skin type.
Yeah, normal is white and normal average is white. So I think it's great that they're doing something that should have been done because it is important. It's funny, I'm like, they're making things really easy for the skincare industry. But I do think it is good for the person at home that could be worried. I mean, I don't know how they're going to take pictures of every little ailment. I'm just imagining.
Yeah.
At some point that directory is going to get full of...
Yeah, this directory, by the way, this data set is not like consumer facing. It's not meant for you to go look up your rash. It's more for dermatologists to train on it. And in fact, they had, I think, 3 to 5 dermatologists look at each photo that was uploaded so they could really make sure that they were categorizing it correctly. But now when a dermatologist is doing, like, say they're doing a study and they want to see how this new treatment works on psoriasis, they can use this data set to look at other types of psoriasis and all different types of skins. But I just think it's interesting that the way the Google researchers did it is like, listen, if everybody's searching anyway, let's use this for some good. No,
I think that's the part of me, because I'm like, but it's Google, and like, they're just getting more
of our information. They made it really clear in the study, which I will link to in the episode notes so you can find it, that they separated the IP address and the name of the person from the image, which I think is what you're getting at, the privacy concerns that go along with this.
But that's the thing. I was thinking maybe it was open to the public, so at least that wouldn't be an option. Like, I don't want to see my granny's rash.
It does have a big warning, by the way. I did not click through the images because it was like, warning, some of these are graphic. I was like, fine, I'm going to leave that for the dermatologist. Yeah. I'm just going to talk about the fact that I like that as much as we get scared about digital technologies and what they can do and how things are changing, there are good sides to it. Okay, and we have time to talk about one more thing, which Charisse gets on the mic today. The first thing she says to me, do not make me talk about broccoli freckles.
I went straight to my TikTok and typed in broccoli freckles. And what did I see? White person, white person, white person, white person.
I didn't even think about that.
And I was like, including Meredith Dukesbury. Is that how you say it?
Oh, yeah. She's the first person to do these stunt little videos. Okay, so here's what's going on. I don't know who the very first one. This is so dumb, but I just have to talk about it. They're taking a piece of raw broccoli, dip it in the makeup, and then use that to like stamp freckles on their cheeks. First of all, nobody is doing this except
nobody.
Content creators who have to put out 7 pieces a day to keep their algorithm happy and make money.
That's what I'm saying. That's why even Meredith fell into it. This is what I don't get. It's like when people make a video purely because others are making a video, I've got to do it. No, you don't. Give the broccoli to somebody that's hungry, maybe. There's also that.
Oh my God, so wasteful. You just put a bunch of makeup over some nice vegetables.
It's a cruciferous vegetable. It's very good for you, okay?
Eat the broccoli. Do not make makeup with the broccoli.
Stop being so wasteful. Like, stop. It's really grotesque. Like, Meredith had 2 big bunches of broccoli. No.
I agree with you. And now I feel like I'm part of the problem because I'm talking about it. But what gets
me... Did you do it?
Of course I didn't do it. I didn't do it. But here I am talking about it. But what gets me is then journalists who are in the vein of me, who like to report on beauty trends, think this is a trend and write about it. I saw a story in Newsweek on broccoli freckles. I was like, wow, you were really hurting for meeting your minimum content you had to put up that day. Like, you're writing about broccoli freckles.
They interviewed the guy that did it. They interviewed him. And he said, well, you know, freckles were really in last year and I used the pen, but I thought, this has to be easier.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You thought, if I take a cruciferous vegetable and put it on the video, people will laugh and I will get likes.
Likes, and you maybe get some cash from a brand, I guess.
Let's wait. We're going to see some tie into like some...
Oh, no, it's just going to be the whole fruit makeup thing again, isn't it? Now it's going to be not bananas and potatoes and mushrooms.
I don't know if Mushroom Girl's going to take off, Charisse. Tomatoes and strawberries, maybe. I am not predicting Mushroom Girl for... Watch me say that. Let's revisit this space in 3 months. I could be very wrong.
Exactly.
I could be wrong.
Jen, you might have her on your show.
We've given enough time to broccoli freckles. Let's go raise some wands.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on. So I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, BetterHelp.com/mascara. I love beauty, so I am willing to experiment when it comes to, say, makeup or new lip color. But with hair care, if I find something that actually works, I do not need to mess around and keep trying other things. For me, lately, that's been Vegamore, a line designed to make your hair and scalp visibly healthier. Jess and I started using Vegamore about 10 months ago now. I've been using the Grow Serum, and I think I've mentioned this on the podcast, but my hair is growing faster than ever. It's not just growing longer, it's thicker too. Like, people have been noticing and telling me how great it looks. And I'm not gonna lie, I kind of love when people notice my hair. I use the Vegamore Grow Hair Serum and their Revitalizing Shampoo and Conditioner, but I have to mention that you should not sleep on their dry shampoo. It's great for in-between wash days, but it doesn't build up like some other dry shampoos, and it smells really good too. If you get one of Vegamore's value kits, like the Grow Essentials Kit or the Everyday Kit, which actually has the dry shampoo I was talking about, you can try more than one amazing product at a great savings. And when you sign up for a monthly subscription, you save even more and you never run low on the products you need to take care of your hair. If you want gorgeous, healthy hair, the key is consistency, and Vegamore makes it easy. Fun fact, Vegamore sells one bottle of Grow Serum every 15 seconds on their website. That's how good this stuff is. Give your hair the power of the little pink bottle with Vegamore. For a limited time, Fat Mascara listeners get 20% off their first order by going to vegamore.com/fatmascara and using the code FATMASCARA at checkout. That's Vegamore, VEGAMOUR.com/fatmascara, code FATMASCARA to save 20% on your first order. VEGAMOUR, vegamore.com/fatmascara, code FATMASCARA.
Okay, it is the Raise a Wand portion of the podcast. So this is where we talk about products we love. But in the past couple episodes, I've also been having people give homework and talk about products they love. People are getting all confused. Here's where I'm going to leave it. Every single call I've gotten on our hotline, every single message I've gotten is because people have discontinued products they want me to find a replacement for. And that's because I asked for that two episodes ago, and I'm going to keep asking for it. I have this special guest coming on. Her name's Erica Metzger. We're going to go through all these voicemails we get, and we're going to find some of these products. And maybe several people are talking about the same product they want us to find the replacement for, and she's going to go to find a replacement. So just to give you an idea of what people are looking for, I want to share a couple voicemails from listeners.
Hi, Fat Mascara. I'm calling about a discontinued product that I would love help finding. The Smashbox Photo Finish Hydrating Under Eye Primer. I'm down to my last tube, maybe, but they are now reselling for $129 on eBay, and I'm just not willing to go that far. There has to be something similar. I've tried a couple from Ulta, Catrice, et cetera, but none are quite the same. I would love any help. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name's Nick, and I miss the days of Sephora carrying nail polish. I used to work there when they carried Urban Decay nail polishes forever ago. And I miss colors like bruise and mildew and pink. There are dupes, but I don't know what they would be. And they're those like 90s colors with a little bit of frost to them, because that was just how it was then. Thank you. You guys are the best. I love your podcast.
Hi, this is Julie. I love your show. I cannot live without Clinique Eyeshadow Duo in Double Date. It was discontinued several years ago, and I have not worn makeup since. So I need it back. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. So clearly you all have needs. Everybody knows a product that they miss so much. If you have one, stop the podcast, send me a voice memo, info@fatmascara.com, or call me 1-646-481-8182. Now I can ask Charisse to raise a wand. Actually, I want to say, let's raise a couple wands. I've been doing this with my guest co-host because I feel like this is indicative of their personality. The first thing I wanted to ask you about in this raise a wand was, what candle would you like to raise a wand to?
Right now, it's... Do you have rituals over there?
Oh, yes. It's like a Dutch company or something.
Yes.
And it's like around the world, all the different ingredients. And okay, tell me what you like from rituals.
Well, first of all, whenever I've been into a ritual store, I have never had a bad experience, like ever. It is always so nice. They always give you tea, which you don't have to accept. But I feel like people that work there like to be there and they'd like to share stuff with you without it being over the top and salesy. It's not like that. And I always feel like, it's not that it's crazy expensive, but I feel like everything I buy from there is a treat for me. So I love their, it's all gone now, but the cotton blossom candle comes in this lovely copper kind of cup, which I should keep. It's one of those hacks, isn't it? You're meant to like melt it and get the stuff out from the bottom.
Get some kettle, hot kettle water, pour it in there, and then that last wax will come right up, including the adhesive with the little wick, you know, the little metal thing on the bottom. I do this with all mine, and then I use them as planters. I have one right here.
Oh, it smells so good there.
See, look, it's got a little...
Oh, cool.
This, I think, was a Tata Harper candle.
No,
but
I
yeah.
Love that.
Okay, so cotton blossom. What does cotton blossom smell like?
Like fresh sheets, cotton, linen... I feel like there's an old school perfume it reminds me of. It might have been called White Linen, actually. Like a Estee Lauder, maybe.
This is the kind of candle when you don't feel like cleaning, you just burn that candle instead.
Oh, and you're like, God.
What? Not you. I didn't say you.
Shady.
I will talk about myself here. Sometimes when I don't feel like cleaning, when you want to come home to that clean smell, like, I'll just burn a candle. What? You've never done that?
No, I just like freshness. I'll probably put it on when I'm cleaning.
Or I'm like, I want clean sheets, but I don't feel like changing the bed. I'll just spray some lavender spray on them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm a dirty girl. What can I say?
The scent is so important. I literally went to a Byredo perfume workshop last week. It was so good. It was so cool to just like talk to people about scent. And there was a guy there and he was like, it makes him sad when he lights a candle when his friends come around. They're like, can you put that out? He's like, well, why? Like, and I was like, how can anyone dislike a candle? And we were just talking about scent memories. And that's, I do think that's why a candle can just be like this little treat. For me, I even light a candle if I've had a crap day and I want to start the next day with just, let's do this. Let's do that.
I do the same thing. Or even just moving from like, I had a weird meeting in Zoom and I have to set a new intention for the next project I'm working on. I'm like, fresh candle. Let's get in here. Like saging almost.
Yeah. Fresh candle, fresh cup of coffee. We can do this.
Yeah. All right. Cotton blossom. Very nice. Now let's talk more beauty or hair, whatever. Is there anything new in 2024 you're loving that you want to raise a wand to?
I'm going to have to say sacred moisture sealing lotion, Beyonce's Sacred.
Oh, really? Okay. Actually, this is funny because 3 weeks ago, a guest came on. She had tried the line. I then got the line and tried it. I didn't try the moisture sealing lotion. Tell me everything.
Right. Okay. So it's the only product that I've tried.
Okay.
Full disclosure, my lovely friend, he bought himself every single product. We're getting stung on the shipping. Okay. It's meant to be a flat rate of £6. But I'm going to use that word. Y'all are adding on these taxes, right?
I didn't do it. Beyonce did it.
Yeah, right? So my friend spent £60 in shipping, okay? He loves Beyonce and he also has curly hair, right?
Okay.
He bought them all. He didn't realize that his lovely partner had bought him all of the line as well. So he
they spent $120 on all the shipping. That's so sweet.
So he was just like, do you want any of this? And I said, I'll buy one of the moisture sealing lotions off you, because I had seen a YouTuber use the whole range. And I was like, you know what? I think this could work, because my hair's very short right now. It's like a really short bob and I cannot relax it anymore. I feel very torn relaxing my hair when I keep reading about endocrine disruptors and increase in ovarian cancer amongst women of color. I was like, I did it twice last year and I was like, I can't. So was like, let me try this moisture sealing lotion for blowing out my hair. When I blew it out, I've got quite fine hair. I instantly felt like it was soft but strong, like it had some strength to it, right? So that night, I just wrapped it up in a scarf. And the next day, I was booked in for a hair consultation because I'm going to get a texture release.
To fix the line of demarcation from non-relaxed to relaxed. Yeah. Not fix. I shouldn't say fix, but like make it softer.
Move away from relaxing. And the hairstylist was so lovely. She was like, well, you've paid for the consultation. Let me just quickly tongue your hair. Oh my God. When she tongued my hair turned into all those people that use sacred. Like you had Miss Julie on your show recently. People like her that had used it and their hair was like flip, flop, flapping everywhere. My hair was like that. Oh, my hair felt so good. It was like swish, swish.
For our American listeners, tong, by the way, flat iron, straightening iron.
Yeah, straighteners. Yeah. Press,
whatever kind of, okay, blowout some. But you did it with the tongs. Yes. And you had flowy, swishy hair. Thank you, Mrs. Carter.
My hair looked fresh, so good. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll try the shampoo and conditioner.
Are you still going to get the texture treatment or do you think you can work through this transition?
No, I think I still need to get the texture treatment because long term, it will help me blow dry my hair less.
Yeah. You don't want to get caught in that cycle of now I'm the girl who has to.
Now I'm putting heat on it all the time. Yeah. I don't really want to do that. But I was really blown away instantly. First from how it felt when I just wrapped it. And then secondly, once it was tonged, it was shiny, it's flowy. It just felt really, really good.
Raise a wand. That is a good endorsement. Yeah, I thought the products were lovely. My hair felt a little bit slippery, weighed down. And the first thing I thought is this means it's a good product for even curlier hair than mine.
Or you're using too much.
That's the other thing. I got really into it because it smelled good and it's Beyonce and it had that gorgeous package. And I think I need to like ease up a little. I also don't often need conditioner. So the shampoo alone was very moisturizing, which I really liked. So I think of the line, that was the product I was the most into.
Well, if you try this, Jen, you do not need a lot. You really don't.
That's good to know, especially with the 60-pound shipping to get it over to you if you want to reorder.
I know. But I will say that one product, yeah.
Last thing, anything else you want to raise a wand to? And then I'll raise my wand.
You know what? I'm just going to say the beauty of Joseon, that ginseng essence, because...
Oh, you say this like everybody knows what you're talking about. I know their sunscreen. What's the ginseng essence?
It's basically, I don't know if I told you before, I used to have acne a lot. So, you know, like toners come and go and essences come and go. For me, there's just something about this one. It keeps my skin so calm. And so I'll wash my face, then I'll use this and rub it in. And then I'll put more of it on. So it's just like water, but I'll add more on. And I saw someone doing that on YouTube recently. I think she was like, you're literally watering your skin. That's what she called it, watering your skin.
Oh, like a nice little plant that needs to grow.
Yes.
But not with water, which would dry it out. With actual ginseng essence, that's just giving it moisture.
Yeah. I think what I've learned about my skin over the years is when you have oilier skin, you are scared of the word hydration. Okay. You think you're going to end up with oily skin. But if you have oily skin and you don't hydrate it, it's going to become so textured and it will actually be dry and the oil will just sit on top. So I've learned over the years, don't be scared. And I feel so many Korean brands are so good at helping us to layer products. You don't have to do 10 layers and 10 products. But I do think there's really something there because I will go and try something else and I will go back to buying this. I don't know how many times I've bought it now. And I'm not really that loyal when you look at everything else that I've got. There's just something about that toner.
What an endorsement. Also, this is reason enough for me to have you back on the podcast because people often write into me that we talk too much about dry skin. Both Jess and I happen to have dry skin. And I feel bad because I can't test or talk about products for oily skin because, you know, I can talk about them objectively. I need Charisse over here to explain to me why MAC blotting powder over an essenced watered skin is the way to go.
Okay, and don't neglect us, Jen, okay?
Yes.
Don't get me wrong, that oil is going to keep us looking younger for longer potentially, but...
I know. We all have our own issues. It's so funny you said that one, though, because the product I want to raise a wand to is also like a soothing, it's a spray, but like an essence type product. It's called Prequel Universal Skin Solution Dermal Spray. Do you have this brand, Prequel? I don't think it's in the...
No.
But it's a dermatologist brand, but really price conscious. There was this Tower 28 product.
I wanted it so bad. The spray, SOS.
Yeah. This is less expensive. I'll get to that. However, that is hypochlorous acid, which is, dermatologists have used it for years. It soothes skin. It helps with rosacea flare-ups. It's just sort of like everything calms down. I definitely need to have this dermatologist on the podcast to explain to me better how this works, because it is magical, this particular ingredient. Whenever you're red, inflamed, dry, itchy, it probably works on oily skin. I cannot attest for that. But
no, it does.
Oh, the Tower 28 one?
I have it.
Oh, shut up.
That ingredient, again, changed my skin massively. And I have to shout out.
Isn't it fabulous?
Everybody should get it, because makeup artists have been using it for ages. So just basically keep things clean.
It's also antimicrobial. Yeah.
Yes. And if you are acne prone, honestly, Katie England, best facialist in the world. Well, my last facial I went for, right? Because she knows I've still got texture. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, you know, I'm doing a double cleanse.
You're human. You're going to have texture.
Yeah. No, but look, she's in the business of getting the best of out of, and she's definitely not someone that's going to be like, look at that. She's not that kind of facialist. So she was like, what are you doing? I said, double cleanse. What are you using? I said, cleansing balm, emulsify warm water, then use a gel, clean that off. And she said, no, you need to start, when you do that cleansing balm bit, that stuff is still sitting on your face. You're splashing it, but there is residue. She was like, you need to wipe it off with a little towel. So that was the first step I brought in. Then I would wet my face again, use the gel. And then she said, once you've washed your face, you're going to take this hypochlorous spray. I use Clinisoothe or Clinisept. They're exactly the same thing. Put it on a tissue or a cotton pad. Wipe your face. It smells a bit like bleach to me. Like
water. Yeah, it's very medicinal.
Yeah. It's literally just like giving you the extra protection.
Yeah, but it doesn't dry you out the way a lot of these, like for micellar for me and things like that, like they dry me out or they leave a residue. Is this stuff the wonder liquid? Like hypochlorous acid? I know it started to get hyped up like with certain brands that were using it, but I feel like, I just think we need more of this and we need versions that are not as expensive. How much is the clinic?
So there's Clinisoothe.
Okay.
Or Clinisept, which is S-E-P-T. I think for like 100 mil, I bought a 200 mil bottle and it's like £19 maybe.
Okay. So then I think I have you beat even with this. So the Tower 28 one, the SOS spray that kind of went, that's kind of viral, is $28 for 120 milliliters or 4 ounces. This is $17 for, which is what? How many? That's like £15. Not even. For
it's rubbish these days.
120 milliliters. And it's 0.02 hypochlorous acid. And then it's electrolyzed water and a soothing mineral concentrate. So there is some other soothing stuff in there. Maybe that's why I like it for my rosacea prone skin. I'm not going to say, but I am going to say hypochlorous acid is the thing. I'm raising a wand to that. But also the prequel's pretty nice too.
For the oilies and the dry skins, you know.
Who knew we were going to end on such a universal product? I think the product is even called Universal Skin Solution Dermal Spray. Hello. I predict we're going to see this at the drugstore brand soon. Boots is going to do their private label version of it, I bet.
They will. They will. Because I have to buy Clinisoothe and Clinisept online, which is annoying sometimes. You know, like sometimes you're at Boots, you want to pick it up, and they used to sell it.
Yeah, the masses need the hypochlorous acid. It might need a rebrand too, because that name sounds so scary, and it's so not.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're going to burn your face off. You're not. It's not an acid like an AHA. It's not like that. So, all right, we'll get into Sinus Corner of it another time. For now, know that Charisse with her beautiful, sometimes oily skin loves it. Me with my dry rosacea skin loves it. Charisse, raise a wand to you. You are the best co-host. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Go get your beauty sleep. I'll stop yapping your ear off. Let's get out of here.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.